Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Week one of the NFL season with just a game left tonight with the Jets and the 49ers. It was so nice yesterday with a win in the back pocket. You just sit back and enjoy a red zone. Sit back and enjoy other team's struggles. Did I mention we've got our producer Drew Nixon with us as always in studio today,
yeah,
wearing
correct.
A bright orange hoodie. We'll get to your Cincinnati Bengals at some point here in the next 10 minutes or so. But you're wearing the construction orange hoodie today.
What's to talk about?
Oh, you know what there's to talk about.
What do you mean?
You know,
Drew,
what to talk
Drew,
about.
You have to wear this one today, man.
There were too many people thinking about me yesterday.
You're the only Cincinnati fan I know.
And sure, but there's no need for you to. You don't have
NFL.
To be thinking about me. I was fine.
Drew, it's the NFL. The biggest upset in the worst loss of
this
the year
fandom.
In week one was the Cincinnati Bengals. We would be talking about that anyway. And then it just so happens our wonderful producer, you, are a huge Cincy fan, and they play the Chiefs this week. It's very relevant.
It's very timely.
We're going to talk about it here in 10 minutes or so. I would love to get your thoughts.
Best rivalry in football.
It's one of the better ones right now. It is. I mean, I hope Cincy can hold up their end of the bargain. I mean, if they just are crap this year, it's going to really not be as fun.
The way that Andy Reid coaches, it's going to be another tight one.
Yeah, the way he coaches to those 3 Super Bowls in 5 years.
Well, some regular season games. He does coach those kind of conservative, but they do win most of those games, I would say.
So we'll get to that. You guys can hit us up and say hello to Drew. 913-586-7965.
And say hello to Drew.
On the Jays, Southland.
You guys shouldn't be paying attention.
Toast service, text line.
You don't need to give me the time of day.
That's who they face this week.
Chiefs played on Thursday, Drew. Yesterday was the games in the league were yesterday.
Yeah, but
we talk about all the NFL today on the show.
Yeah, yours won't be the only team we discuss. There'll be others. There'll be other teams.
Yeah, yesterday it certainly wasn't that way. Goodness.
I mean, it's turned out. Before we get to talking about what happened yesterday, including to the Chiefs' Week 2 opponent, Cincinnati. Let's talk about the Royals, who maybe got lost a little bit in the shuffle because the NFL Sunday was back and everybody was glued to their televisions for
that.
Not
to me, they didn't.
But the Royals get the sweep of the Minnesota Twins. Just like that, that seven-game losing streak, it's all kind of washed away.
Feels good.
It does.
They've got the juice to come on. 3-0. The Red Sox stink. I still agree with all of this. Except maybe I'd add the Twins to that mix.
Look, it was massive. All about the starting pitching, as it has been for much of the season. They started in this series in particular to get that elite starting pitching again from everybody, right? Their starters in this series against the Twins, 0.67 ERA from their starters at Kauffman.
Yeah, that'll probably do it.
27 innings pitched. Of course, Saturday, you get the huge comeback. I was there on Saturday, and I'll admit, the first six innings or so was kind of a boring baseball game. There was only one hit for the Royals, not a whole lot to get excited about. Then Daniel Lynch came in and, of course, provided multiple innings of solid relief, and then the eighth inning, the building exploded. It was the loudest Kauffman, in my opinion, has been. I know Q and some of the players acknowledged that, and it was a really nice crowd. You had Salvi bobblehead. All of that set the tone for Saturday, and they carried it into yesterday. It was a great weekend series. And we wake back up here on a Monday, and it's amazing in baseball just how quickly things shift, because now they got every projection saying a 91-92% chance to make the postseason.
It feels better than that in a lot of ways because of what you're looking at. That sweep, essentially, if you had any doubt left, you and I were still probably, hey, they're 80% making the postseason. I did the song and said, they're still gonna make it. All of those things I stood by. But now, if you were on the other side of this, if you were doubting them in any way because of the losing streak and one game wasn't going to convince you, a full-blown sweep of the Twins buries it. Because now we're not even talking about the Red Sox or Tigers chasing them. The Twins would have to pass them first. Like, the reality just in that alone would change the math on that. So, yeah, I mean, it was a massive weekend, and they won in the ways that I expect them to win. Okay, that's it. They won in the ways I expect them to win. How do they win, you say? Oh, great. They won because their starting pitching was dominant. They got some timely late hits. It felt like it had been a while since we got just a Royals scratch together comeback where they had no offense for a huge chunk of the game and then scored enough late on Saturday to get the win and then just handled front to back the game on Sunday where Waka was perfect. It was a perfect weekend of baseball, honestly. And now they got the Yankees, a team that kicked their teeth in, I don't know, 4 months ago.
Yeah, that's
however hell long ago that was.
That's what's interesting about tonight and the next couple nights against the Yankees. For those that will still say, hey, you know, how do they fare against playoff teams? I kind of roll my eyes at it because they just swept a playoff team, a likely playoff team, the Twins. We know what they've done in terms of being balanced against the Guardians across this entire season. And then the Yankees were the one team at one point this season where they did look overmatched. So if the Royals can be competitive in this series against the Yankees, I wonder, is that the last thing some of you need to see to believe that come postseason time, this team is capable of really doing anything, even with the Vinny Pasquantino injury? Like, if the Royals go out there and the starting pitching continues, even in that small ballpark that is up in the Bronx, that might be what gets people 100% not bought in on the team. I'm talking about, like, for those that are still hesitant about what they may or may not be able to do come the postseason. You and I have just said, hey, with the starting pitching and a best of three or a best of five, best of seven, whatever type of series at some point in the postseason, that this team has got a chance because of the pitching. If they can go out there and win a series against the Yankees or certainly show that they're not overmatched, which is what it looked like the last time they played them, I think that goes a long ways for people's mindset here in what? I mean, 3 weeks from now, postseason baseball?
The crazy thing is we're right back to where we were a week ago, and maybe it doesn't feel as likely because they're without Vinny Pasquantino, but with, you know, less than 3 weeks to play, they are in 2.5 games back of the division and 3.5 game or 2.5 games back of the best record in baseball. So, I mean, the same thing, like if they swept the Yankees, you'd be talking about a team that was a half game out, likely, depending on what the other two teams did. Obviously, they could close the gap too. But a half game out of the best record in the American League again. They are once again closer to catching the Guardians than they are the last wild card spot teams actually catching them. They're a game and a half up on Minnesota. They're almost as many games up on them as they are close to the Guardians. All those things are back alive again, yeah. And rightfully so.
We're back to just talking about, all right, are they a second wild card, top wild card, or the division? And admittedly, it looked like the division was completely out of reach. And it seems at this point, because you don't have the head-to-head against Cleveland and you are running out of games, like the percentage of them winning the division is still under 50% in some of the projections that are out there. I think it's 20-something percent chance to do that. But they're at least in play again. It keeps the pressure on the Guardians. It looked like the Guardians were going to have very little pressure in the final week of the season. It looks now like they're going to have to keep up their play. We know how the Royals end. They're going to end a lot of NL teams, the Giants and the Braves, who are bad. The Braves are going to be ready for that series, I'll tell you that, because the Braves are battling for a final wild card spot themselves. And they get the Nationals. So you've got National League teams in your backstretch of the season. We know the Guardians have a little bit different ending to theirs. So the Royals are sitting really, really well for a wild card spot. And now potentially back into the divisional discussion. It was just a great weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals are 15 games above .500 at home this year.
Yes. And I honestly think the division is in play. 2.5 games with this many. Is it likely? No, the Guardians play a huge chunk of the majority of the rest of their games at home. They have an easier schedule. They have the 27th strength of schedule remaining the rest of the season. But there are advantages for the Royals, too. The Guardians do not have an off day until the 27th of September.
Well, they kind of do the next three nights.
Because the Chicago White Sox, a team they've lost to five times already this year?
They get the White Sox for the next three. Yeah, for whatever reason, the Guardians have lost, but they get the White Sox. Does anybody think that they're getting swept by the Chicago White Sox? I do not. Need a miracle from Chicago in this Guardians series.
I mean,
I know it's baseball,
but I'll take one. One against the Guardians White Sox.
Sure. I know it's baseball, and as we've always said, hey, even the best teams, if you win 100 games, you're still losing 62, and so somebody's beating you. But boy, oh boy, the White Sox
haven't been beating very many. No.
I mean, what are the Chicago White Sox have 33 wins. We joked a month or two ago, do they get to 40? They need 7 more wins with what? 18 games to go. They're not getting to 40.
33 wins?
Yeah.
33? Oh, man. Boy, that is a number. Can we really count on the Chicago White Sox to do the thing? No, probably not. They beat the Orioles over the weekend. I mean, things happen, right? It's not like crazy. Sometimes, like, all I'm asking for is one. They beat the Red Sox yesterday 7-2 after the Red Sox beat them for the first two. They beat the Orioles in a game. Maybe they're hot. They've gotten two wins in their last two series against two, you know, one playoff team and one almost playoff team. So maybe the White Sox are back. One win against the Guardians, and I'll take it. The bigger part is what you and I had said, and now proves to be true. The rest of this team is still good enough that they shouldn't ever have lost as many games as they did in a row without Vinny Pasquantino. He's important to their team. He matters to their team. He helps their offense. But it's not like he was the only person carrying this squad. What had happened, I still think, was they got kicked in the nuts, and it hurt for a few days, and they were reeling a little bit, and those losses stacked on top of each other to go with it. And then once they sorted through it, they were fine and they recalibrated. Look, I don't think they're going to sweep the New York Yankees over the next 3 days. But yeah, they recalibrated, which is what matters.
We know the NFL Week 1 slate just about in the rearview mirror. There's still Jets and Niners a little bit later on tonight. But yesterday, the story in the NFL was the Patriots.
Third and goal for the Patriots. First play of the second quarter. Running play. It's Stevenson. Touchdown. Patriots strike first.
And they ended up winning 16-10 against Cincinnati, which knocked a lot of people out of Survivor, by the way. But we're in a unique spot because our producer, Drew, is a Cincinnati Bengals fan. The Chiefs are playing Cincinnati at Arrowhead this coming Sunday. Drew, that was the worst loss of the season in Week 1, and it might still end up being the worst loss of the season, period, for any team. The New England Patriots, really? Jacoby Brissett just beat... We joked last week. We weren't even taking it seriously.
I can't even name any of their wide receivers. Is Kendrick Bourne still on the team?
He is not, I don't think.
Okay, well, then I can name zero Patriots wide receivers.
I don't know where he's at these days.
It's interesting, just because the way the Patriots... Like, their strength is Ramondre Stevenson. It's the weakness of the Bengals. Run defense is as bad as it was last year, where they ranked basically dead last.
Are you just saying it was a bad matchup heading into that game? That's what it sounds like you're saying. That was a bad matchup for your Cincinnati Bengals against Jacoby Brissett.
Patriots haven't been a bad matchup for any team in the NFL in years.
I'm saying that what the Patriots do well, the Bengals still apparently do not do very well.
So you are saying it's a matchup.
The biggest thing, though, you didn't even play the biggest play of the game, and that was Tanner Hudson.
Yeah, the Bengals did not execute.
Motion man Hudson. The throw caught. Hudson lost the ball. Looked like a touchdown. Instead, it's a turnover.
Yeah, not a disciplined football team. That's what it sounded like in September to me. Cincinnati wasn't ready to play. They sat everybody in the preseason. Zach Taylor didn't have his team ready to go. They lose at home. And the orange out that you were saying that there's no vibes in the NFL. You need orange outs around the league. Cincinnati lost.
The orange out was not that was not a thing that they promoted like that. The stripe stuff is, but anyways, they had three costly mistakes. One of which was that Tanner Hudson one, and I mean they score a touchdown there. They kick a field goal 17-16. I think the Bengals win and.
But we're having a different conversation.
I know that, but we're having a different conversation, in terms of everybody looked bad on Sunday. This one is particularly bad because it's the New England Patriots, and Zach Taylor is now 1-10 in the opening two games of the season in his career as a head coach, and I think at this point it's a, what are they doing wrong differently? What are they doing differently than everybody else where they just look unprepared and not ready to go? In week one, the Jamar Chase conversation with the contract stuff obviously is a bit of a distraction, but Jamar Chase played fine. Joe Burrow was okay.
He said he had a case of contractitis.
Look, I will say
there's a lot going on, but it's no excuse for that. You know, they should have beaten New England. It's just.
It was the single most embarrassing loss of the opening weekend.
True.
Sure.
No team was more embarrassed than that.
But again, if you think I'm the fan that my day was ruined yesterday because they lost, then you don't know me very well because.
You should have let it ruin your day.
No, maybe it's not the way that I should be feeling, but it's one of the worst losses they've had since 2022. When they lost
tough way to lose.
They went to the Super Bowl the same year, so it's not like the season's over after one game. People like to do that. They're doing it in college football for certain things as well. Like Kansas's season is not over because they lost to Illinois.
Well, those, I mean...
We're going to get to them. We're talking Cincinnati right now. We're going to get to Kansas.
But that comparison doesn't play. It would be
college football also is much different because we all know in college football, depending on what conference you're in, you maybe only can lose one game. You're correct. Cincinnati is not going to only win five football games this year. We're giving you a hard time because you on Friday and for the last 2 weeks have told us the Jamar Chase thing is not a problem and it's
Burrow's
not a big deal.
Back,
and it doesn't matter who they have and they're going to beat the Patriots. And so, look, admittedly, it was a hilarious result yesterday that Jacoby Brissett beat Joe Burrow.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
I did.
Absolutely, I enjoyed it. The same way that you probably enjoyed the Chiefs losing the Raiders last year. It happens.
The Raiders lost to the Chiefs. That sucked for the Chiefs. That was bad. That was a bad loss. I wasn't joyful that the Chiefs lost last year.
I thought that's how fandom works. I thought we all agreed to be joyful in other people's misery sometimes.
And also for those on the text line,
it's the regular season. I don't care. They lost to the Raiders. It doesn't matter.
Right. I don't think you can say that if you got zero Super Bowls though.
There's a difference in Kansas City. Where you're right. In the regular season, whether it's a Raiders loss on Christmas Day or it's a Cincinnati loss in the regular season, Chiefs fans actually, you can say it's arrogant, but Chiefs fans can say, hey, the regular season loss doesn't matter because they actually have the track record and the banner to back it up. In the same year where they've had these what were quote-unquote devastating losses, they went out and still won Super Bowls. With Cincinnati, people are way more skeptical, and I think it's warranted. And the Joe Burrow factor, like, yeah, he didn't have T. Higgins and all that, but, like, he didn't look special at all yesterday. New England is going to win how many games this year, do we think?
Who knows? I have no idea.
Dude, come on. I mean, there's some teams we don't know, but I'll take the under on 6 on New England immediately. I mean, how many, like, it's like saying we don't know how many games the Panthers are going to win. 3, 4, I don't know.
Look.
Very few.
Because the easy comment for me is to say, well, you guys lost to the Raiders last year. It doesn't matter because you guys won.
Correct.
It doesn't matter. There's nothing. That's the thing. I shouldn't feel. Everybody says excuses. I'm not saying excuses. They fumbled the ball. They lost the game because they turned the ball over. They stunk yesterday. I'm not saying that. I'm not. Me making an excuse would say, T. Higgins didn't play. Well, this happened. They fumbled the ball. They stunk yesterday. The game plan sucked. They didn't get a first down until the second quarter.
Are you worried? You're not worried at all about Cincy?
No.
Okay. I'd be worried about Joe Burrow. He's only made the postseason 2 times in 6 years.
And he's gone to the AFC title game in each of the 2 years that he's been healthy.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't know. I'm not. You guys aren't going to get me at a crack because I'm not. Look, the Bengals could go 0-2 against the Chiefs. Would it suck? Yes, but they still have 15 more games.
I'll give you credit. Week one is usually a liar. I don't think we'd want to extrapolate everything I saw on Sunday and be like, this is who all these teams were. But you yourself, this is the problem, Drew, is that you yourself 3 weeks ago were like, they got no excuses. Look how easy this schedule is to start the season. They're going to be 4-1, 5-1. They're going to be leading the division.
I said they have no excuse to finish. They have no excuse to finish worse than 3-1.
And, well, they better win than
the biggest upset of week one was their team.
No, yeah, but again, if they start 2-2, there's no excuse, and they should be
better than that, and
it's a problem. But that doesn't mean they can't turn it around.
Because their two games after this are the Commanders at home and the Panthers.
Yeah.
And we saw just how bad the Carolina Panthers are. They're not just bad, bad. They're like going to be the number one overall pick for the third consecutive year bad. Is that be their third straight year? They had it the year they were the number one pick with Bryce Young. They were the number one pick that year because they traded up for it. Then they were the number one pick, honestly, and gave it to the Bears to get to the number one the year before. They might pick number one overall as far as like the record goes, like three times in a row. They're terrible.
Remember, we do have an outstanding bet. Remember, are you still holding? Are you still good on this bet for Sunday?
I'm a lot bolder than you guys because I don't run from any smoke, and it doesn't matter.
I wouldn't do my end of the bet.
Our bet is still there.
Didn't you bet a tattoo with Barbara? Do you want to take that one back?
I don't run from any.
So let's lay out the terms again. Let's lay out the terms.
If the Bengals lose to the Chiefs on Sunday, I will have my hair bleached. Again, I did say from the jump, as long as you guys pay for it, I'm not paying for the
bleach. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of that.
I am not paying for the bleach.
Don't worry. We will take care of
it. I'm not shaving my head. Somebody mentioned that yesterday. I'm not shaving my head. That was not the bet.
Right.
It was just bleached.
My hair.
And?
I will get the 59 tattoo because that's Barbara's number. On my wrist, and I get to design it the way I want to.
Mm-hmm. He did agree to that from the beginning.
And that was his terms.
So, and the McDonald's 24-hour challenge.
Sure.
Anybody that
it sounded like if anybody, you guys were going to cower from the bed because you guys said 12 hours last week. You wanted to go down from 24 to 12.
I just said 24 hours.
I was fine to go down to 12 if we all wanted to agree, but 24 is fine.
12 came up yesterday.
Who said 12 yesterday?
12 last week. 12 came up. Cody said, can we do 12 instead of 20? Does it have to be 24?
And don't get me wrong. I don't think the Chiefs are going to blow out the Bengals on Sunday. Anybody that suggests that hasn't been paying attention to how these games typically go. We also know it's Cincinnati's Super Bowl. And if there's one thing I know about Jamar Chase, suddenly he's going to be feeling great and he's going to work his ass off this week because there's nothing he enjoys more than playing Kansas City.
You guys don't. So, it's not the Bengals Super Bowl. It's some fan Super Bowl.
Oh, the hell it's not.
It's some fan Super Bowl. If the Bengals win, Joe Burrow's going to say, yeah, it's a good win. We're moving on to next week. And that's the way that it goes because guess what? They haven't won a Super Bowl. So why should you celebrate beating the Chiefs when you haven't done anything?
Because they have done that. Jamar Chase has done that. Some of their teammates have done that. Jamar will talk,
but
they don't treat them any different. They don't treat them any different.
God, he's got to regret saying that. Burrowhead.
I should make you guys call it that. Actually, as a matter of fact, I should have added that to the bet because you guys aren't giving up enough.
That's bad negotiation on your side.
We gave up the exact same thing you gave up in our bet. Either of us have to go to McDonald's. I didn't make you make a tattoo bet with Barbara or to dye your hair blonde. You just like offered that up. I had nothing to do with those things. I'm innocent.
You want me to negotiate against myself?
I'm not going to do that at all.
How much do you believe in the Chiefs?
A lot. I think at the end of the season, they will be 14 wins, and they will be in the Super Bowl. That's how much I believe in them. I know.
And bet something legitimate.
What else you want me to bet?
Pick something.
I'm not negotiating against myself.
That's tough.
Why aren't you negotiating against you? I'm negotiating against myself because
I don't know why you did that.
Because I'm confident in my team. You guys talk all of this smack and all with all this confidence about your team.
But say it with your chest and bet something. They're the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs. You're making it sound like talking from the chest is somehow not an accurate portrayal of, you know, where the Chiefs currently sit. Chiefs fans can literally say whatever they want.
If you think the Chiefs are going to win on Sunday and you're that confident, then bet something that means something a little bit more than a McDonald's trip.
I'm not looking forward to that. That sounds miserable.
Jeez. Everybody said, look,
Someone already offered to bleach your hair for free if the Chiefs beat your Bengals.
Said my wife owns a hair salon in downtown KC. Will they come in studio? We'll take a picture of your phone number.
So hang on a second.
Shout out the studio, you know?
People are saying that Drew's giving excuses. So if the Bengals, if I say the Bengals stink, is that an excuse? That's what I literally said. There's no excuse. They stunk.
Yeah.
I don't understand. There's no excuse. They sucked.
Yeah.
There's no excuses to be made.
That's probably the way you should say it. I mean, you knew this wasn't going to be a great day to walk into the office.
No, and guess what?
But I'll give you credit. You wore your Bengals sweatshirt.
I hold my head up high. I'm wearing my Bengals hoodie. And somebody said that they would offer the tattoo for free. I will say this. I've got a tattoo guy that I've gone to for every single tattoo that I've had back in Indiana.
Are you flying him in?
It's going to take a lot for me to not get a tattoo from that individual.
That's where every tattoo you've ever gotten from?
Yeah, because
there's lots of great tattoo artists in Kansas City, you know?
I understand, but if I'm going to, for me paying my money, like, I need to, I want to go to my guy, you know?
What does Barber get, by the way, if the Cincinnati wins? I don't remember what the other side of this bet was.
Barber doesn't get anything as far as I'm,
get that hat.
I think I get the hat either way, though, because.
Yeah, I think so. You put a tattoo on the line, the hat's yours.
Someone said, Drew, $100 right now. I'm not giving you $100. You can give me $100. I'm not betting $100. I'm betting what I'm betting. If you want to Venmo me $100 if the Chiefs lose this weekend, go ahead.
Just one side of it.
I have
put up enough, Drew. I'll give you that.
I have bet what I bet because I'm confident in my team. I'm disappointed that you guys haven't bet more. I know that you guys
don't know what
each
else
other,
I'm supposed to bet.
You guys know each other better than I do. I think you guys should. I think you know what you would not like to do.
You're asking me to negotiate against myself. I'll be honest. I don't do that. That's just not how this works for
me personally.
I'll think
about it. I'll consider it. But I don't have anything off the top of my head. I wasn't prepared to offer new terms.
Yeah, if you want to throw out something that you think I should do, then we can talk. We'll see if that's a viable bet. But if I'm not just going to throw out something
like
that
Alex isn't going to get a tattoo. That's not going to happen.
There's no scenario on earth.
All I know is that
I have to get a tattoo if the Royals win the World Series. That was enough pressure.
I'm just saying, I'm going to say the same thing I said to Dusty earlier. For all of this talk that
I'm
getting
today.
You're
way too confident for a team that just lost to the Patriots. I'm just saying.
But again, who did the Chiefs play after they lost to the Raiders?
They went on and won a Super Bowl, dude. Like, it doesn't matter.
Know. No. We're talking regulars. I don't care about the Super Bowl.
Well, I do.
What happened the game after they lost to the Raiders? They probably won the game. I don't even remember who they played.
I mean, probably, but I don't remember who it was.
One loss in week one does not matter. It doesn't matter.
For some teams, it doesn't.
It's a bad loss, and it sucks, and they were really bad. But they can easily turn it around and be very competitive like they have tended to be against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I think it'll be a competitive game on Sunday.
I just think...
Neither one of us is saying the Chiefs are winning by 20 points or something. No, I think it'll be a competitive game. It's the NFL.
But the way that everybody's talking and all this other stuff, the messages that I'm getting, just be careful. Look, don't lose to the... to the bum Bengals then who lost to the Patriots. The Chiefs better not lose to the bummy Bengals who lost to the bummy Patriots in week one. It's not the same.
You're correct. You actually are in a really good, you should actually appreciate the lot. You're in a good spot because you're right. Like,
It's a no-loss situation.
Yeah,
you're going to blame
your
team for losing.
Because on Monday, you'll come in if Cincinnati loses and say, well, yeah, there's not any good. And if everybody will move on. They're like, yeah, they're not very good. If the Chiefs win, you'll make a huge deal about it, and you should. You're in an interesting spot. But the Chiefs just have the Super Bowl in the background.
They beat the Bengals with Jake Browning the following
week.
That's
what I was
going to say. Well done, guys. You did great.
Well, they can't.
Well done.
But you just said that game mattered. You can't now just
it only matters
knock
if he
it
thinks
away.
It matters. It only
well,
matters
I'm
if
saying,
he thinks
I'm,
it matters.
I'm sure that they won the next week, and they did. They lost to a bad team, and they beat their biggest rival the next week.
I still agree with it's their biggest rival.
People who think that I'm crying, you guys are hilarious. I'm not.
You sound flustered.
My day was.
All right. The salt count is very high. The saltiness is very high on the show already. We are underway on a Monday. Up next, the other takeaways from the NFL slate yesterday, besides Cincinnati losing.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
To the Patriots. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. I can promise you, the chatter continued during the break. It's going to be a fun week.
Drew Clemens is not going to say anything if they win. Why wouldn't
it's gonna be
you?
It's going to be a fun week in Kansas City.
It's way more fun if you do.
It's not my Super Bowl.
It
doesn't matter.
It's going to be a fun week.
That's fine, but it's a game. It doesn't have to be your Super Bowl. It's still a game.
I know. I will be giving... I'm going to go back and find some of the ads of the people who...
who talk trash to you?
Who were saying the Bengals were dumpster juice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's probably fair.
Let's get to everything else, though, in the NFL, besides what we just started the show discussing. Some of the other takeaways from the NFL Week 1. I think for me, I just want to know if this was a Week 1 thing, or is this one of those 4 or 5 year cycles now in the NFL where we're starting to see the defenses fully catch up in the league? And we start to see a little glimpse of this last year. But I'm referencing in Week 1, you guys know only two quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards. Normally that's become like
the average is like 205 yards.
There's a lot
something.
Of quarterbacks that threw for like a buck 70 to 210. Only two quarterbacks, including Tua and Matthew Stafford, threw for over 300 yards. Only 33 passing touchdowns in Week 1. The lowest of the last 6 years.
By a mile, yeah. By the way. The second lowest was 54. So unless each quarterback throws 10 touchdowns tonight in the Jets 49ers game, it'll be the lowest there in a while. You're saying its defense is catching up. Is there a chance it is the infusion of mobile quarterbacks in the NFL?
There's
Think about all the guys
threat.
Who have been taking dual threat quarterbacks over the last 3 years taken in the NFL draft. Jaden Daniels this year, Drake May not so much, Caleb Williams for sure. Mahomes falls into that camp a little. He's not really a dual threat, but does run.
And he was, 7 yards away from 300?
Yeah, 7 yards away from 300. So he was in the range. But it's like Bryce Young, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Bryce all these Young guys are supposed to have some mobility.
I mean, we all want Bryce Young wasn't throwing for 300. I don't care what
he
was going on.
He may never throw for 300 in his life.
Bryce,
I don't know.
Bryce Young was not throwing for 300 in any game with the way the Carolina Panthers look like. They're going to be horrific all season long.
Are teams going to just start playing them in preseason finally? Like, that's the question. Is that the adjustment? Do you want these guys actually playing football before they have to play football?
I think for some teams and some quarterbacks, it matters more than others. And Andy's old school, so we know he's going to play guys in preseason. He's going to have a tough training camp. A lot of coaches have just completely backed off. And so, as I've said, it's week one, but I'll be keeping an eye on this over the next couple of weeks just to see. Do I think we're only going to have two passers over 300 every single week? No, but is this going to be the trend more often than not? We're only going to have a handful of quarterbacks. I guess time will tell. There also just was... There wasn't a ton of great performances yesterday by quarterbacks, period. And there's a lot of sloppiness out there. And that's where tons. I do think it's week one and the teams that didn't play in the preseason, the defenses are ahead of the offenses perhaps here in the first week or so.
I think that must be some part of what's taking place here. But that also to me is if Andy's one of the few teams who managed to get to 27 points and almost get 300 yards, why wouldn't you at some point make the adjustment and become a passing a preseason offense similar to that is what they have consistently done. And I just don't understand why other teams haven't decided to make that transition gold. If what you're talking about is the case, which is fairly simple. Like we don't have enough people who are consistently playing good the first couple weeks, not just Cincinnati, right? Who looked bad yesterday. It was everybody who looked bad yesterday. And I think, and not everybody, but this was one of those Sundays where I looked back and I was like, boy, it was nice to be a Chiefs fan today because everyone looked incredibly mediocre. You weren't like looking at any team and be like, oh no, because the only team that looked good was the Saints. And I'm not going to like get away from that. My biggest takeaway is that the AFC South is going to be a fight. I am not confident the Texans are going to walk away with that one because they let the Colts hang for a big chunk of that game. They looked dangerous. I thought Jacksonville let one get away. ETN just doesn't fumble at the goal line. Then they beat Miami, so they let one slip. The Colts are tough. I think across the board, they are, I just think the AFC South is going to end up being the most competitive division in football. Maybe we'll see. The NFC South maybe tell us a little bit of a story based on how the Rams looked last night. But still, I think that there's going to be in for a fight. The Colts, the Jags, the Texans, that's just a lot of good teams.
Yeah, the Titans did show us, though, that they're, the offseason acquisitions and everything, doesn't matter when Will Levis is your quarterback.
Boy, they had it.
They should have beat Chicago. They were pathetic.
Did you see that photo?
Yeah,
that play was hilarious. Did you see that photo on after he threw the pick six?
Defensive like touchdowns. It was a mess. They had no business losing that game, and Chicago stole that. It's credit to their defense and special teams, but we're going to talk about Caleb Williams. It wasn't like it was the offense of the Chicago Bears that beat Tennessee. You know where special I'm at teams. On the Colts. I view them pretty highly heading into the season. They had a chance to win. Anthony Richardson looked really, really good. And so I think even in a loss, the Colts are probably feeling way more optimistic. Like, not every loss is the same, right?
Richardson made one absolutely bonkers throw.
Like, if you're the Colts, you lose to a really good team in the Texans and your quarterback play that way, you're still feeling pretty good about what the rest of the season versus other teams you lost and you had no reason to be optimistic. The Colts, you still walk away. It's the NFL. There's no moral victories. But if you had questions about Anthony Richardson, I think you got some of them answered yesterday and what they have down the field. They got to get a little more out of Jonathan Taylor in their running game. But yeah, the AFC South will be competitive again. The Jags, though, can they get going early on in the season? Yeah, they lost a tough one they should have had, but they made a lot of mistakes last year. ETN and Trevor Lawrence. That was kind of the story much of a year ago.
That's a Doug Peterson problem. They'll tell themselves that, by the way, here in about a year. You can't take the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, everyone tell you he's God gifts to quarterbacking, and still have NFL evaluators talk about him like he's a top five talent in the league at quarterback and never get anything out of it. Because if you just end up as a 9-8 win team again or 10-7 in a first round exit in the play, whatever, if you end up being that multiple years in a row, you'll be out on your ass sooner rather than later, which is what happened, of course, to the Eagles.
My take is going to be, or the big takeaway, there's a couple of them to the point of everybody struggling. Deshaun Watson, I think we already kind of knew was going to probably struggle anyways.
Oh, man.
Did not look good at all. I think
he's the worst quarterback in the league.
I know that you're paying him, but you need to look to go to Jameis at this rate, because and it's not even about the money anymore. Yes, you don't want to eat the money and just get rid of him, I don't think, because it doesn't.
No, you should.
I think you should too, but I don't think it matters that much this year. You're wasting the prime of Myles Garrett, and Nick Chubb and the other guys that they have on defense. They're wasting the prime because Speck tweeted yesterday. It's crazy. It could only happen to the Browns, but Baker Mayfield, if you put him on this team, the Browns are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, probably. They're that good from a roster perspective. I think Jameis gives them a better chance to win, and they don't need to waste the prime of Myles Garrett anymore.
I know what it says. I understand fundamentally there is no easy way to swallow these numbers. If you were to just cut Deshaun Watson at the end of this year, you would owe him in dead cap $172 million. If you cut him the year after that, you would owe him $99 million in dead cap hit, and he'd still have a $26 million dead cap hit in 2027. I understand that fundamentally, no team should ever absorb a contract of that size under any circumstance. This is the one exception. He is so bad, you have no chance to win with him. You have a better chance to win paying this man $200 million and starting Jameis Winston. He is, by contract, he's the worst starter in the league, no doubt. But I'm not kidding. This is not like hyperbole. I'm not just saying this for a radio point. If you made me today choose a quarterback to start for the Chiefs the rest of the season, I would choose Daniel Jones over him. I would choose to start Daniel freaking Jones over Deshaun Watson right now if you made me for the Chiefs the rest of the season. Bryce I don't Young. Think there's a single quarterback I would choose. Maybe Deshaun over Bryce Young. Maybe. I'd think about it because I'd still say Andy Reid upside young quarterback. Maybe.
Well, I think the thing that's telling too is that Jameis Winston is giving the pep talk to every. Jameis Winston is the guy that's getting everybody fired up, and he's the backup quarterback. Deshaun Watson, he doesn't bring. He brings nothing to the table.
He's so bad, and it's not. I mean, it's not even close. And because of the financials, that they're not going to just bench him for Jameis Winston. If you're a Browns fan, you almost hope for a fluky injury again to Deshaun Watson. As terrible as that is to say about somebody getting hurt, we know last year when they brought Joe Flacco in off the couch,
yeah,
they were so much better. But this is a Browns organization that makes plenty of mistakes in their history, and none worse than the fully guaranteed contract. I'll remind you too, fully guaranteed, and it also has the clause in there that even if you were to somehow get suspended for something else again, it does not void the guarantees. Like there is no saving grace. Like
there's no way in which you do not pay Deshaun Watson his money.
He is getting every cent.
It is by far the worst trade that will ever happen in the history of sports. It's not even the NFL. It's in sports.
It is. You're right. Because not only did the Texans get the pick that eventually led to C.J. Stroud, a far superior quarterback, they freed themselves of having to pay a quarterback for some time. It's one of the most lopsided trades I've ever seen and will ever see. It was made worse because of that contract. He is comically bad. It's hard to explain how bad he is.
Karma is a you-know-what, and there's not a better example of that than what's going on in Deshaun Watson's career. I know you can say he's still getting his money, sure. Sure, but things are pretty miserable there if you're a Cleveland fan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd say so. It could be worse. This is almost a perfect sports weekend. Royals get the sweep, Chiefs sitting around on Saturday, Bengals lose to the Patriots in Kansas City. You are feeling great. If you're a Tigers fan, you got the win. If you're a K-State fan, we'll talk about their win over Tulane a little bit later in the show. You got the win. The only thing that stopped it for some sports fans, including Alex Gold, from being a perfect sports weekend is Kansas. Jalen Daniels did not look right or did not play well in that game. Like, there's a real part of me that is one of two things, in my opinion. I'm curious you from a Kansas fan's perspective. In watching him play, it's one of two things that are the problem. Either they miss Kotelnicki way more than I was anticipating and they need some help in creative offensive play calling immediately, or Jalen Daniels can't play the same to try to stay healthy. To try to physically be on a football field, he can't play the way he used to play because that wasn't the Jalen Daniels I was used to seeing last year.
Yeah, that was a bad loss. This is not a good Illinois team. This is a bad Illinois team they just lost to over the weekend. And I think you're right. One, you question now having a brand new offensive coordinator, and what does that do to your offense? Was that just a game in which Jalen Daniels was off? Okay, if he was off, then you blame the play calling because lean on the running game. You know, Devin Neal and Hyshaw were averaging like 7 yards a carry.
He only had 14 carries, Devin Neal.
At one point in time. Yeah, it was unacceptable. So play calling deserves plenty of the blame. If your quarterback doesn't have it that night, you need to be able to adjust. You can't call plays like he was still playing at that top tier level. But the bigger problem, perhaps,
And we're going to find out a lot on Friday, even against UNLV when they're back here in the Kansas City area. Is Jalen Daniels anywhere near the same quarterback? I think it's a fair question to have. I think it's too early to flat out say he's not the same guy yet, but that's the number one concern if you're a Jayhawk fan would be, all right, is Jalen Daniels not JD6? Is he not that same guy anymore?
Because then being a ranked team,
he did not look the same.
And
obviously, if he's not the same, it changes the entire trajectory. We're talking about them suddenly only being a 6-win team if he's going to be that kind of guy.
Like playing in a pre-Christmas bowl game.
Yeah. Let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. And that'll be where everybody's attention is focused. I didn't think they were going to be an at-large bid in the college football playoff anyway. To me, their path was going to, if you believe they were going to get there, and I did not have my winning 9 games and not making to the Big 12 title game. If you think that's the case, then the Big 12 and getting that was their path. Nothing changed. But boy, oh boy, it's going to come down to whether or not Jalen Daniels is still anywhere near the same quarterback.
I thought one of their two paths got erased. They had two ways. They could be a team who won a majority of their games, got to the Big 12 title game and lost in maybe a weak at large year. But I mean, it was going to have to be a weak at large year, and a lot of things were going to have to go your way. The most realistic path for Kansas was to win the Big 12. That still exists. So I don't have to like just give up on their dreams because that's the case. But yeah, something didn't look right with Jalen, a huge chunk of that game.
Yeah, I mean, they had the four turnovers kill you in a game that you only lose by 6 points, and the defense needed a stop down the stretch. They couldn't get it done. Illinois goes on that long 6-minute drive, kicks the field goal, and the game was basically over from there. But I think it's a mix of Jalen Daniels and just the play calling where they, not that Jeff Grimes is a bad OC, but along the lines of Andy Koltunecki was so innovative and creative and knew what to do with Jalen Daniels. Maybe there's still some growing pains with Jeff Grimes there and trying to figure out how to best utilize Jalen Daniels.
They have a chance to calm the waters against UNLV. If he goes out and throws for 300, 270 and 3 touchdowns and no picks, everybody calms down again. But his performance will be even more criticized and under the microscope.
Well, they don't have Jason Bean save the day anymore, honestly. Right.
That doesn't exist. And then just, I thought the biggest swing in the entire game, though, right before halftime, just run the ball out, run the clock out. They're aggressive for whatever reason. When your quarterback wasn't playing good, he throws a pick six right before halftime.
And yeah,
I mean,
it was brutal.
You could argue among many other mistakes that swung the entire game. It was a really bad loss. There's no other way to say it. That was a bad loss for Kansas. And you're right. We'll talk about K-State here in a little bit. They found a way to squeak one out against Tulane. It turned out to be a really, really good game down there. They were fortunate, but you find a way to win.
Kick and play.
You were fine. Yeah, the quarterback for Tulane.
Oh, yeah.
That was, and we'll talk about Avery Johnson because I think about play calling. I think they're holding Avery Johnson back a little bit. And that to me, if they want to get to where they believe they can get to, that probably has to change.
I don't watch, as you guys know, like college football is not the primary sport, right? I do NFL, I do Major League Baseball. Like those are the ones I stick to. I couldn't help. I was curious because the Raiola kid from Nebraska, one, he was like the number one recruit in the country. He is playing at a program that has been desperate to matter for a very long time. And they got a massive win. They rolled Colorado. That
Colorado
game was not a massive one, but they rolled Colorado. They made them look bad.
Colorado stinks. They're the same team as last year without the win against TCU in week one. They're going to win five games.
Shador's leaving with 2 minutes left in the game.
Care about any of that. That's not even. I don't even want to talk to you. Why are you talking Nebraska football? Is anyone else a little bothered by the doppelganger stuff that Raiola is seemingly doing from home? Did you see his pregame routine? Did you see him mock a first down goal? This is? He might be watching tape just to intentionally copy everything Mahomes does. It's getting kind of weird. It's making me a little uncomfortable.
So it's normal to look up to someone that plays the same sport as you that's the best at their craft. Patrick Mahomes, any young quarterback, I could see why you want to model your game after him, right? He's the best quarterback in football. Super athletic. He's been winning rings. Like, totally get it. That's a very normal thing.
Sure. I used to pretend to be King Griffey Jr. In my backyard.
Sure. Or you were a young kid playing basketball and you were playing, you stick your tongue out or whatever, like MJ. Like,
yeah, going for the lamp.
All that is normal behavior, looking up to your idols or whatever. But when you're a Division I quarterback, and not only are you doing the same pregame route, exact same pregame routine, the jump in the end zone, right, to fire up the fans. We've all seen that from Mahomes. That's exactly what Raiola did in Nebraska. But he has the same headband. He has the same haircut. He wears the same clothes. He wears the same Oakley sunglasses.
That part is what makes it weird. Having the same trainer is just smart to me.
Bobby Wood Jr.'s got the same trainer, too. I don't blame
him. Why would I not have the same trainer? Why would I not still try to model my game? All that is not...
It feels like he's like...
It's the dressing up the same and having every thing to it that is a little just weird. A little weird. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. Nebraska finally has a quarterback. All that is true. But yes, it's gotten a little creepy.
It's bordering on... Trying to think about like the best movie example of this, but it looks like somebody who's trying to like slowly take over somebody's life and then nobody will notice. I mean, it is the first down run, the double leg jump thing, the camera end. Like, did he switch teams just so he could wear red?
He was gonna wear red. It's just that the fact that they
wait. Which team was he with before?
He was committed to Georgia, which is like red, and then it's
red and black,
the gray and black. Yeah.
Less red than Nebraska. And I understand his dad coached or played there was like a star, but like it's bordering on uncomfortable. I actually think we're in the minority. Some people are just like, yeah, you know what? It's what people do. Said it's the social media age. Get over it. It's not that big of a deal. A lot of people are going to copy Mahomes. Like, I get it when it's like my kid, right, might copy a baseball player. Like, but it's.
Yeah, you're 12 year old.
I mean, he's
kid,
mimicking every single action of the man. It's weird.
If you're the dad, your son, let's say your son, Desmond, wanted Mahomes' haircut or Bobby Wood's haircut, that is a million times different than what is going on here.
Very
from
normal.
A 19 year old Division I quarterback that is doing everything.
Desmond does not have the right hair texture.
Okay.
For Mahomes' hair.
I hear you.
That ain't going to happen. You didn't either. Somehow he made it happen.
Bobby Wood Jr., let's see, you know, that is totally good. Someone says you guys are talking about it's working. That nobody is saying that it is going to be bad for his career at this point in time. Yeah, he's getting social media attention, but it's the fact that we're just saying it's a little weird. That is it.
People are pointing out talented Mr. Ripley, swim fan, or some of the movies where they just like start to become a different person slowly. They're like, I'm just going to take over your life, and no one will realize that I'm you instead of the other person.
Well, I think in a way too, Mahomes is also playing into people paying attention to him because he's like calling him Cuzzo and he's talking
right.
about
he's
him.
He's not actually cousin, just for those that are wondering.
He reaches out to him and all that other stuff. Like they're in communication. Like that.
And modeling your game is the text line.
It's been built up as a bigger thing than what I think it
totally
is.
Totally makes sense as an athlete to look up to the best at that same sport you hope to play one day in the professional ranks. Totally makes sense. That's happened forever, right? Plenty of people are big Kobe Bryant fans, wanted to model their game after Kobe. They weren't necessarily dressing and having the same haircut and doing the same warm-up routine, like all that. People have done the same warm-up routines. It's everything put together. Like we've seen kids in high school try to do the LeBron, you know, powder.
Chalk.
Okay, but if that's all you're doing, cool, whatever. It's every aspect of your life trying to mimic him. It's a little weird. That's it. Well, that's all I have to say about it. I'm done with it. But it's just that he's a great quarterback. You kind of don't even need that.
It's just got like a weird energy to it. It's really the best way to describe it. Great win by them. Or good win by them. I don't think Colorado's all that good. They're fine. They're a dysfunctional team.
No, but Nebraska lost to this team a year ago. So that tells you where the step they've taken. Because I think Colorado is the exact same as last year.
I think dysfunctional is a good way to describe it, Cody.
What's that?
I think dysfunctional is the way to describe it.
They're just dysfunctional. They have enough talent to win more games than they are. But that's the problem with hiring a guy who was never really a head coach except for at a lower level. And then he just put a bunch of talented people. Because no one's doubting that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter and some of these guys aren't incredibly talented football players. They would start at other big-time college football programs. Travis Hunter would be a star at any school in the country, I think. But, Deion doesn't keep exactly that group together. He lets some kids have different rules, and as a result of that, just a mess. Messy situation.
Someone says, eventually, if he's not a starting quarterback, it will take less just to be a backup in Kansas City. I don't know.
Oh, my God. That would freak me out.
That would be ridiculous.
Then it would be a talented Mr. Ripley situation.
That would be ridiculous.
I'm just going to hope one day you won't notice. Took some extra snaps.
Yeah, someone says, if it helps him get him drafted. I don't think this is going to help him get drafted. If he's a really good quarterback and lives up to the hype, that'll get him drafted. And so far, the early returns have been good. Two games in his college career, he looks like he's going to be a very good quarterback in college. And that's why Nebraska is off to a 2-0 start.
Again.
Well, Nebraska fans should be fired up.
Yeah, they should be.
They should be fired up. They looked really good against a team that they lost to, as I said, a year ago. So it shows the progress of their program. All right, guys, coming up next, let's talk about the young quarterbacks in the NFL. We saw not just two, Drew, but three rookies make their debut. Although one of them was very forgetful. We'll get to that and what happened before the action even started yesterday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.